This is George Pearson, Senior Pastor of Eagle Mountain International Church. Welcome back to Believers Academy. We're continuing the best of 50 Days of Prosperity, Volume 1. This is Lesson 2 called Our Relationship to Money. Money has a place in your life, but where? We must think differently about money. For instance, do you have money or does money have you? There's some great truths for you in this lesson. Now, I've prepared notes for you on all 50 of our lessons. These are located right below the video. They're for your use to read, to study, and to meditate on. Also, there are other documents prepared for your further study. We believe these are valuable. And, thanks to Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you can simply download them free of charge. So don't miss any of the studies that we've created for you. At any time during this presentation, you can pause the teaching to look up scripture, make notes, even rewind to catch every point that's made. So, are you ready? Here we go. It's time to change our relationship to money. It is day 6 of 10 Days of Prosperity. You know, I so appreciate Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, my mother and father-in-law, and for their teaching and the things that they've taught me over the years about the laws of prosperity. What a blessing they are. Thank you, Kenneth and Gloria, once again for the opportunity to minister this week in the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And I want to let you know that these 2 weeks that we are having together, the Lord spoke a very distinct word to me, and that was that we were to take 10 days of intense study on the subject of prosperity, specifically in the area of finance. Now, if you've not seen the broadcast last week, you need to go to kcm.org. All of those broadcasts are on there for you to look at, to review. And also, each one of the days that I'm preaching, I have notes available to you. Pastors, I encourage you. Ministers, if you want to preach on these subjects that I'm preaching on, you can go ahead and go to the sweet spot on kcm.org, and those notes will be available. Just click onto that sweet spot, and you can get them. And today, again, we're going to go on with this on day 6 of our 10 Days of Prosperity, and we're going to talk about the topic of our relationship to money. Our relationship to money. You know, money is an issue for so many families and so many lives right now. It's an issue that causes stress. There is pressure that's attached to it. And it has a tendency to control lives, control attitudes, control emotions. And you and I today are going to get our relationship straightened out with money once and for all. We're going to have a financial attitude adjustment, a money attitude adjustment, and that money is not going to control you anymore. We are going to find out today exactly where we stand, where our relationship with money is concerned. So, the first scripture that we're going to look at today is Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let's turn over there. Matthew, the 6th chapter. And this is what we're going to settle today. Let's get this right from the top. This is what we're going to settle. I serve God. I don't serve money. Money serves me. Now, I'll say that again. I serve God. I don't serve money. Money serves me. Now, this is what we must decide today. We must come in line with the fact that our pocketbooks, our wallets, our bank accounts are not going to talk to us anymore. We talk to them. We talk to them. There are so many times when money is talking back at you. And there are families that are going through such emotional turmoil right now because of financial situations. Money is talking to them. Money is causing that care and that pressure that's upon them. And we're going to get this straightened out today in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and it says in verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. So the decision has to be made. Who's serving who here? And this principle is laid out plainly before us. If you read further on in this, it says, therefore, what's that therefore? Well, you cannot serve God and money, and so there is a choice that we're having to make. That's a choice that Jesus was bringing to the disciples and to the people. There's a choice that we have to make there. You cannot serve God and money, so make your choice. Make your choice. Therefore, I say unto you, do not take anxious thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, nor yet for your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? And then he said this, look at the fowls of the air. Look at the birds. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Why was he saying that? Why was he saying that we were better than a bird? Because we have the opportunity to sow and we have the opportunity to reap. We have the responsibility to sow and the responsibility to reap. And so we have the responsibility to tell money what to do. We tell money what to do. Money does not tell us what to do. I remember so many times sitting and talking with Brother Copeland about the ministry, and I've been working for the ministry since 1976 in various positions. Ultimately, the Lord had called me to pastor. But in my time here, I've been art director, artist, when I first came to work, art director, and then publications, and then the executive director, and now pastor of the church, and many times I would sit with Brother Copeland, especially in the days when we were talking about the business affairs. And Brother Copeland would look at me and we'd talk about decisions that had to be made. And I'd talk about the money and where we were with the money. And Brother Copeland would sit back and look at me with those Copeland eyes. And he'd say to me, George, what if money were no option? What if money was not an option in this? What if money was not a challenge? What would you do? What's the Spirit of God telling you to do? Well, what he was endeavoring, Brother Copeland, was the Lord was, through him, trying to get me over unto the place where I was not being controlled by money. I am not controlled by money. I'm not controlled by it. What do I mean by that? I do not allow money to control my emotions, my thinking, my mind. I am focused on what the Spirit of God is leading me to do. Now, I understand you're saying, Pastor George, you know, some of us out here have bills that we're having to pay and debts and pressure and financial. I know that. I understand that. I pastor a church. And Terry and I have gone through some of those same things as well. We have been faced with the mountains of challenge. And all I can tell you this is that through the years, and now when we began pastoring here at EMIC, we were in a smaller building. We call it the chapel, the chapel. And it's the small building on the property. We hold about 600 people. And so when we first started pastoring, we were up to 3 services. It was growing at such a rapid pace. And we knew that we had to build another building. So we began the planning and then the construction of this building that we're in right now. Well, I lost so much sleep over the financial realm of it. And, you know, we were running into problems with it, and the cost of it was escalating. And I lost a lot of sleep. And I was under constant pressure over that building. We finally got it done, praise God. But not, I should have stayed in that place of faith. But all that to say, the money or the lack of was putting such pressure on me, it was affecting me physically. And I made a decision. Money does not control me. Whether it's there or it's not there. If it's there, praise God. If it's not there, you better believe I'm calling it in. You better believe I'm calling in the harvest. You better believe I'm standing on my faith, believing for that harvest to come in. Now we have another building that we're working on, and it's our youth and children's building. It's right next door to the building that we have. And in that youth and children's building, we are operating the way we always operated. We're not borrowing money for it. We are doing it as the money comes in. And that building, we began the whole process about 3 years ago. And we're just, the shell is up, and we are now positioned to where we have the money in the bank to do phase one within the building. I have taken a different stance this time. I have not lost 1 minute of sleep over that building. Not one. Not one. Even though it would be nice to have in the bank all of the money that would it take to finish that building, I am not losing. Money is not controlling me. I'm controlling it. I'm on it. I'm on it this time. I got it this time. That first time, that was a battle, but I had to learn how to stand on the word. But this time, man, we are walking by faith and in faith and in the rest of God. And you know what? Every service that we have at EMIC, we're calling it in. And we have our congregation point over to where the building is. And you know what? We are calling it finished, furnished, full, and free. And I am not walking in impatience. You know, it is through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. And so all that to say, money ain't controlling me any longer. I know that's not good English, but that's just the way it is. Money does not control me. No, I control money. I call it in. I serve God. And when God tells me to do something, then I believe for the finances to come in for it, and I walk in faith with it. And so when we looked at the fowls of the air, the Lord takes care of them. How much more does He take care of us who are able to sow and able to reap? And it goes down to say here, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Whereof shall we be clothed? That's all money. And what He's talking about is the care and the worry about money, the pressure, the financial pressure in our lives. It's over. It's over. Make that decision today. You make a decision that my care and worry about money is over forever. This is the last day. It's over right now. I do not serve money. How do we serve money? You bow down to it by giving it your thought life. You bow down to it by, and when I say thought life, I'm talking about the worry, the concern, and the anxiety where money is concerned. You literally bow down to it. You literally serve it. It tells you what you can do. It tells you what you can't do. When you say that I'm on a fixed income, you are allowing money to tell you and to dictate to you how you're going to live. Money does not do that. I don't serve it anymore. I don't serve money anymore. I serve God. I serve Him. So I don't take thought, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to be clothed? For my heavenly Father knows that I have need of these things. But you know what I do? I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things are added unto me. I serve God. I don't serve money. Money serves me. Do you know that money has been given to us as a servant? Let's look over here at Genesis chapter 1. Let's take a few moments and talk about this. Money is a servant to us. It doesn't tell us what to do. We are the ones that tell money what to do. And we'll just go through a few of these scriptures. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every seed-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth. I've given you seed. I've given you seed. And every tree in which the tree of the field yields seed, to you it shall be for meat. Your seed is your provision. It doesn't tell you what to do. How ridiculous it would be for a farmer to be out there and to have seed there in his bag, and all of a sudden the seeds rise up and they start talking to him. I mean, picture that. Picture a farmer with his seed bag. And all of a sudden these little seeds rise up and they start talking to him. We don't want to be planted today. We don't want to go in the ground today. We don't want to grow up today. All these little seeds talking to him. That's ridiculous. A farmer doesn't ask a seed whether or not he wants to be planted today. A farmer gets up and he decides, I'm planting you in the ground. Well, seed was given to man to be provision for him and to be a servant for him, not for man to serve that seed. And a most important scripture that we have to look at is in Psalm 104. Take a look at that. Psalm 104 And again, all these notes are available to you, all these scriptures. But Psalm 104:14, this, when I found this, I shouted. This so blessed me. And it so went along with the whole premise and the idea that we serve God, we don't serve money. Listen to this. In Psalm 104, let me back up a little bit into verse 10, talking about God. He sends the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and seed for the service of man. Your seed. Now, when I talk about seed, we're talking about your finances. Your money is your seed. Your money is your seed. That's what God has given us to be enlarged with, is to plant seed and to reap harvest. And seed has been given for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. So do you see that? That money is ours as a seed, and it is a service to man. Now, there are a couple of examples that I want to show you about. One example here about how money got a hold of an individual. Look at Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, this is the account, we call it the rich young ruler. And Jesus came to him, and he really wanted him to be the treasurer. He really was pressing in upon him to join his team. And he talked with this young man, and he said to him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven." This is Mark 10, 21. "And you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." And it said, "And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Well, we can say here that possessions had him. Money had him. He was a servant to money. You don't have to be poor to be a servant to money. You can be the richest individual in the world, and that money can have such a chokehold on you. It can have such a control on your life. So it's not just limited to people that don't have money. It's all of us that have to deal with this. That's what Jesus was saying. You've got to choose today whether or not you're going to serve money or you're going to serve God. You must make that decision. This young man, it said, he was sad. He was depressed. Money was controlling him. And the thought, the very thought of selling some things and giving to the poor proved that he was not yet ready to serve God as he should. Now, I believe that eventually he did. I like to look at Scripture that way, that if you look later on, somewhere along the line, those possessions no longer had a hold on him. But in this particular case, those possessions had him. Now, there's another Scripture. Here's an example. It's right there in Mark 12, of money that was under control of an individual. And it's the woman that cast in that mite into the offering. And Jesus, in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, Jesus sat over against the treasury, and he was watching how people were casting money into the treasury. And many that were rich were casting in. But there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said to them, "I say to you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they that did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living." Well, this woman, money did not have control over her. I believe that this woman heard the voice of the Spirit of God in prayer one day, and she had that living, all that she had was right there before her. And she said, I have an image of this woman. And she was not weak at all. She was a strong woman, a strong woman. I'm surrounded by strong women. I got strong women. I've grown up in this ministry with strong women. Gloria Copeland is a strong woman. Kelly Swisher, she's a strong woman. Terry Copeland Pearsons, she's a strong woman. I know strong women. I know strong women. My son-in-law, Cody Oaks, his grandmother is Billy Brim. Strong woman. So I have all these great examples of these godly, strong, powerful women. And that's the kind of image that I see with this woman right here. And I saw her, she heard from God. She said, okay, I'm taking the money. And I'm taking it down there. And she was joyful about it. And she took it in and she threw it into the treasury. And Jesus was stunned by it. All that to say, she was not controlled whatsoever by money. She was in total control. She was serving God. Money was serving her. She wasn't serving money. And I believe that day because of Jesus, and I know Jesus from His Scripture, that I believe that day when she saw her do that, I believe she turned to the treasurer and said, open the bag, we're going to bless this woman big time. And I believe He did it right in front of all those other rich people that were walking around. Let me share with you one more Scripture. I've got just a few moments left. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's get over there and see that. In 1 Timothy 6, listen to this. I know I've got just 2 minutes left on this one. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the uncertainty of riches, but in the living God, which gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they're ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That's what we do. It's not bad to be rich. And that's the instruction that was being given by the Spirit of God. But we have to tie that in to a couple of scriptures before that in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the fair faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I don't love money. I don't love money. And I don't serve money. Money serves me. I serve God. And I present to Him my finances. Lord, what do You want me to do? How do You want me to act where money is concerned? And this is the confession, and it's on your notes, that we confessed at EMIC in this last minute. Let me give it to you. This is what we said the night I preached this just a few weeks ago. I settle this issue tonight. I adjust my financial attitude. I do not serve money. I am not a slave to money. I serve God. Money serves me. I do not work for money. Money works for me. Money doesn't control me. I control money. Money doesn't rule me. I rule money. Money doesn't dominate me. I dominate money. I fearlessly tithe as I'm told. I boldly give as I'm led. Money, You serve me. Money, You obey me. Money, You multiply, increase, and produce the maximum harvest. And harvest, I command You to come to me now in Jesus' name. Shout your victory. Glory to God. That concludes our second lesson. We've learned that we don't work for money. Money works for us. Now, one of the downloads is a confession to help you speak God's word over your life. Print it and confess it today. You don't want to miss our next lesson. It's called Making Withdrawals from Our Heavenly Account. Until next time, this is Pastor George reminding you that Jesus is Lord.